Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
So thank you, Michelle Boulay. Without our sponsors, this wouldn't be possible for all of us. Just before we go into introducing the presenter, please know that this morning with us is Tandy, our tech host. So if you have any tech issues, feel free to contact her through the chat box. Also, when you're sharing your experiences, comments or questions that we will be dealing with at the end of the presentations, make sure that you choose to panelists and attendees options so that everybody can see what you're sharing. My name is Jana, and today with us is Paul Tekken. Good morning, Paul.
Morning. Hello.
Hello. Very warm welcome to you. So Paul is an agile innovation consultant, trainer, coach, author, and keynote speaker. To his opinion and experience behind true agility and successful agile transformations lies a much deeper, profound personal and cultural change in which human talents like sensing, authenticity, intuition, creativity, empathy and consciousness are rediscovered. Paul is applying and teaching embodiment techniques in combination with agile practices on all levels in the organizations to help people discover and develop these talents. So what he's bringing to us today is the embodied roots of agile, saying that agile is not a tool, but a way of sensing, being, and working. And in this interactive and embodied sessions, he will share his embodied experiences during the global agile transformations where he was part of and how embodiment can help people in times of change. In an embodied retrospective, participants this morning will learn how to apply this genuine agile way. We're very pleased to welcome you, Paul, once again, and over to you.
Yes, welcome. Thank you. Thank you all. Good morning. It's very early for me, so I'll share my screen. Hopefully I still stay awake, of course. So. Everybody can see it? I think so. So let's get started. My name is Paul Tekken. I'm born in the Netherlands in Zeist, in the center of the country in 1972, already 48 years ago. And actually what's the red line in my life is I really like technology and people. In the last couple of years, I start realizing that nature and all things that come with us are also part of this system. And combining that, those three passions of mine, the people, the nature and technology, that brings us me every, actually all over the world. I'm grateful that I'm presenting at this conference because I think it's a missing part, this embodiment part. People think too much out of their mind, out of their head. And to really be profoundly in transformation, you should do it with all your body and be really in contact with your environment. And again, I'm part of my alibi, so to say, to practice also embodiment and intuition is global transformations, agile transformations with companies throughout the world, mainly, of course, in my home country in the Netherlands, and being a consultant and helping leadership, but everybody in the organization to be more agile, be more, well, adapting to change. But there's more to agile. And that's actually what I'm trying to explain. It's often seen as a methodology, but it's more than that. So what will I do today with you and tell my story, my journey, what I experienced, what I felt during the transformation I was part of. So first, what is agile? In my opinion, there's a lot of definitions of agility, but that's my sense of what I think is real agile. What's the essence of agile and traditional agile versus embodied agile? What's the difference according to me? And then five cases of what I experienced. And actually there are two types of cases, more what I did on purpose, consciously, what I really intervened, and more what just looking back happened. It was embodied, but I really wasn't conscious of it. And the last 3-4 years, I got lots of training and coaching also on that part to be more aware of that. I had to go out of my mind, my head, and be more in contact with my environment and supporting people with that. I'm not perfect in that. I still learn every day, but I'm trying to get you along this journey. And in the end, we do a embodied retrospective, looking backwards at stuff you experience yourself and composing a word cloud of emotions. So more on one of the traditional product management agile way and more of the embodied way, what your thoughts were when you experienced that. So according to me, what you see is that actually all systems are broken right now. They feel out of balance. People are worried, especially in these COVID times. Something is missing. I call it empathy. I call it this other wave, this other thing, what we still kind of pushed away also during education. We're pushing for early wins, quick wins, shareholders value. And of course, that's fine. But when it goes too far, where to, of course, then it becomes unhealthy and people not feel grounded. They feel not part of society. They feel really disconnected. But you also see with children, also young children, there was yesterday on the news that in the Netherlands, lots of young people are feeling disconnected, alone because of COVID, but also being overwhelmed with all kinds of information, discussions. People are really like confused and they really need to center. And how to do that. And also agile is also something to be applied all over the world, also in education. I will also elaborate more on that but lately. So it already starts at a young age. I remember I was also affected, everybody with this system, and I always kind of refused to accept that. And it caused kind of a lot of trouble during my childhood, not being accept the system. And actually that's now one of my, I would say talents, where I come into organizations and help them with to become more agile and letting things go. For example, my son is now, I will say thank God, part of a school which is really embracing his age, is that he is really amazed, living in the moment, gets the freedom to develop himself in a way he really wants, and then all his talents will grow much better than being spoon-feeded and you have to comply with the system. I'm really grateful for that already. So, what's actually an answer to this kind of imbalance pattern, I would say. This is a picture. It's actually a part of a stone with a fossil in it. My son found it in France this summer. It's an ammonite. And I was in the morning, I was kind of pushing him, like, please hurry up in the camping site. You're late, and he wants to go swimming in the river. And I was really kind of, almost most companies do. We're pushing him into this riff, like, hey, hurry up, we're late, and we have more to do today. And it was really like, whatever. I really want to go to the river. I really want to be amazed. And he was like turning every stone and sometimes, hey, I found something. She found something. What do you found? Yeah, we, I found this fossil. So, well, it's pretty amazing. So, but something is wrong there. So what is wrong there? Well, it's not a circle. A limonite should be like a circle. It's broken. And that really inspired me. It struck me. It's what, in my opinion, Agile is currently about. It's also kind of broken. An Agile system is an iterative way to improve. And nowadays, in my opinion, it's broken. And embodiment can help restore the broken system, in my opinion. So why this embodied roots of Agile? It's not a tool, in my opinion. It's really a way of sensing, being, and working, and connecting. And it is this dark picture now becomes colorful. It's no coincidence. This picture was taken in Japan last year, and I was invited by Jeff Sutherland. He is one of the inventors of Scrum. It's an Agile methodology. And he invited me to really get into his background. And he told me that, and he also showed me temples, and that he really was also practicing Aikido, for example. He was an Aikido master. And there's no coincidence that many famous Agile experts have a background in martial arts or in Buddhism. It's they really believe, they feel, they sense they're part of a bigger system. And an Agile ecosystem is restoring this wholeness, this case in companies, in society, and also in education. So it goes much further than that. So we see it also the four seasons there. What's the heart of Agile? It's also the heart of Lean. It's also the whereabouts also in Japan. It's the plan, do, check, act, inspect, and adapt cycle. So when people tell me, well, Agile, that's kind of a hype. Perhaps it's a hype according to marketing standards, but it's not a hype. It's kind of the algorithm, how nature is actually evolving, how nature is working over and over again. And that's actually what Agile is all about. And all kind of rituals and marketing around it, of course, that's not the core of Agile, but this is the core of Agile, in my opinion. So that's really how everything works in life, in the universe, everything. But also, the current state of Agile is broken, in my opinion. What you see, companies applying Agile are going for the short-term profit, so to say. It's been used many times for efficiency, and it should be delivering value overnight or in a year or 2 years. But a profound Agile transformation, it also takes a change of values, of a way of perceiving things. And it breaks Agile also. So when you hear like, Agile is not curing anything. Yeah, that's right. Agile is almost always showing the real pain of organizations. But if you don't want to solve that pain, you won't become real Agile and adapt to change. You're stuck in half of the system, the instrumental part, but not in a really profound embodied mindset part. And that's what, in my opinion, embodiment is all about, and what's the missing part of Agile right now. So what's then the difference between the normal Agile and the embodied Agile? Now, when you look at Agile for people in the presentation and right now, we don't know actually what really is Agile. You have Agile practices, principles, and values. The practices are, for example, Scrum or Kanban. You have the principles, it's the Agile Manifesto. It's that we really, you can see interaction with people over processes and tools, for example, really focusing on a certain type of principles. And then behind it are values like transparency and openness. That's also, of course, very important. And then really, really embrace it, understand it, then you have the Agile mindset. But then it kind of stops. We're instrumentally, it stays in your head. It's about measuring performance, velocity in teams, and how you can improve, but it still stays there. It's not being that you are really in contact with your environment. So when you look at Agile embodiment, it goes also to the heart and to the hara, to the guts. It's really kind of your center, your balance. You can also sense what's happening in an organization. and do something about it. You really are restoring the ecosystem, the real ecosystem around the organization. So I will tell more examples of that later on. So that's, in my opinion, the biggest difference between the traditional Agile and Agile embodiment is that the last two parts, there's also the part, of course, what you see in embodiment in martial artists, the heart and the guts, that's really where the intuition lies, where the real passion, the empathy lies. That's really something what's really important. And again, when I was in Japan, also the co-inventor of Agile, as we know it, Professor Naka, I met him and he gave a presentation about the missing part of empathy in organizations. That's the real missing part also in Agile. And being more embodied, applying that in organizations, that makes your agility in your organization much more effective. So some examples. I call this pushing the brick. It was the car manufacturer in Germany, the factory of the future. We were like finding out scenarios for the factory of the future. And the first day I was there, I was together with a colleague, and we had to teach, so to say, Agile, Scrum for this team. And there was one manager and he said, well, teach me this methodology. I said, well, it's not a methodology, it's a philosophy. I said, well, I don't care, please give the training. I said, well, no, I won't do this. And they said, why not? I said, well, this is, it's something profoundly behind it. And I want to explain it. And why are you developing this factory? It was actually the most sustainable factory of the world. They had in their minds that that's something. I said, well, I don't give. So well, and then I will go. I will start to leave. And then he said, no, please stay. Let me think about it. And he went for a couple of hours and he came back and he was kind of emotional. And he said, well, you started me thinking, I'm 55 years old. I'm a kind of traditional manager inside the organization. And also my wife is very ill and I'm really like pushing for my pension and to get as soon as possible out of the organization. I'm not in the moment. I'm not really thinking of my children, my grandchildren right now. I don't even know if I can do this. This time in the future with my wife and having a great time, but I don't share my knowledge, my passion with my environment anymore. I said, well, and that's also what Agile is all about, if I understand you. I said, yeah, that's actually what Agile is all about. And we really embraced the Agile thing, and he was a kind of ambassador throughout the organization for the next couple of months and explaining why it was important for management to go with Agile. So it's really also then from the heart. It's really struck him that Agile part. And that's kind of, it was not really that I embodied, I felt it, but it's more like teaching him that it was more, it goes to the heart. The second part, it's the financial industry. It's a bank in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands. I was doing a transformation there with a team, and it was actually going pretty well. We're all over the news and companies all over the world came to visit us and everybody seemed to be happy. But I sense it was unconsciously, something is wrong here. It's a kind of a marketing trick. It's kind of, everybody was happy, but it didn't feel sincere. There's still the news, people were like doubting the bank. I said, well, sure that they're doing Agile, but I don't believe it. And I was in the middle of this and said, well, actually, to be honest, I don't believe it either. But the people inside the company really believed it was the right thing that happened and so on. And I thought to myself, how can I, challenge this a bit? And I was at a conference in the time and there was an actress and she was like pretending she was a Dutch-German professor and was just studying the behavior in the boardroom. And nobody had really a clue that she was an actress until the end of the conference. And then she became to be a comedian and she sang and she made fun and it was really cool. And I said, after the conference, I went to her, I said, well, can you also do the same thing for the boardroom of my customer, this bank in the Netherlands? Because we had every 6 weeks this legs on the chair session with the coaches and with the board members. And she was a day facilitator and she really did the same thing and she provoked really, and it turned out to be, and everybody felt it, there was a big distrust, the coach representing the working floor and leadership, that there was, they stopped the positive vibe, the openness, the real agile values to really radiate to the customer, to the outside world. They felt it. They were working so hard to get this vibe outside the organization, but the traditional management layer was kind of pushing it back. And that was really also for me, it really still gives me goosebumps. It was so, you felt it in a room. It was an energy. And also the senior management, first of course, they were kind of angry. Like, what are you doing right now? Because in the end, it was still Comedia and it was kind of funny, but still they had a kind of feeling about it. And it started really something in the organization that also senior leadership was really thinking, also sensing like, hey, this is not right. We should do things differently. And in that time, also systemic change management after that became much more something also coaches were using in the company after that. So so you can also kind of, well, use that to provoke that. So really cool. Embodied corporate values, also in the automotive industry in Germany. When I was doing my assignment there, with my team there in Germany, we are getting great successes as a team. And at some certain point, we gave a workshop with senior management, also with the team of the Factory of the Future. And we really were like, what kind of values do you really feel important? And there was, of course, this sustainability, this really sharing contribution to society, that kind of values came out of the team. And one of our senior managers who we were serving was standing beside us, and he said, well, Paul, what you were like teaching there together with your team, I felt it in my heart, in my whole system, but I see this bus driving by with our new values of the organization, but I don't feel it. It doesn't feel right. And I said to him, well, it could be an idea to have the same sessions also with the senior level management, and that they really feel that it's sincere. Yeah? In the evenings with my colleagues, we were in a hotel, and there was a consultancy firm working out these values, but there was no any feeling with this team. We and my colleague Holger, we were really like doubting every evening, like, yeah, well, this is quite remarkable. They don't sense it. It's not sincere. And that's something, again, it's also embodiment. It doesn't radiate. It just doesn't go out to the organization. The embodied organization will take care of that. This positive vibe is also going out of the organization. So leadership should also embrace that. So waking up the embodied master, it's the same as, again, this team in Germany. And there was a lady, a young lady, and she was really like pushed back by the system. And I didn't understand it really, but I sensed it was, she had much more power in her system. Eh? And one evening and after work at 5 o'clock, I walked to the bus and said, why are you that kind of holding back? And what's, I don't know. And just at certain moments, he said, actually, I was wishing I was still a top supporter. And I said, what were you doing? Well, I was actually one of the top karatekas in Europe a few years ago before I gave birth to my child. I said, well, that's quite remarkable. You have this power system. You know what embodiment is. You have this powerhouse in your side of you. You know how to apply this in a positive way. So why don't you use it? And she was like, really, oh, yeah, it's something really profoundly inside myself and I don't use it anymore as well. Then please practice it again, and not really to win a match, but practice it more to use it inside the organization and really strive for what you are standing for, yeah? what your values are. And she was really also a forefighter. She was a scrum master for the team of agility for also for young talents. And she was in the leadership program. So she stood up and really went to just under the board. And she really was like fighting really, in a positive way, of course, to get more agility in the organization. It made me really proud. That's really one of the things I would say, you can have large transformation, but really touching people in a heart like that, that's something I really always will remember that. Embodied retrospective also in Germany. We had a meeting with one of the managers and the team of coaches was really kind of offending them all the time. And I just was in a training with Anouk Park, my coach, an embodiment, and she teaches me that you could also be embodied and also close somebody who was really left alone. On the top, it's also alone, and that somebody feel without speaking any words that you are really standing beside him. And during this meeting, after just a few days after I learned that, I did it. And just without speaking a word, I really felt also the kind of offense he felt from the group. And he was walking out of the door and he said, "Well, thank you for standing beside me." And that was really kind of struck. My mind was saying it can't be, but it's really, if you are embodied and you enclose people around you, you can really inclusivity, create a team with another wave, another way of not thinking, but sensing in a team. And it's hard to bring on the words, but it's also why I'm so glad I'm in this conference, because, well, we have like more than 500,000 people who are like switching off their senses again. That's, I think, one of the most amazing things happening right now, is that last couple of now 100, 200 years, we were switching off our senses, and now we're switching on our senses. And this conference is showing that we are heading towards the right direction. So really cool. The last example is that the future is electric. It's not about electric driving. It's about telecom industry. It's something that happened to me. It was an unconscious intervention almost 20, 25 years ago. I just left university and I was in my first job, and I was kind of a team leader for, installation of call centers and web servers in the Netherlands for a telecom company. And at one certain point, there was a reorganization going on, and people from one part of the country had to move to the other part to a new building. Lots of people were really like low in the energy. I felt it. Not had any lust to go there, but they had to move. And being there in a brand new building, every day, the electricity went down. All servers went down, and they had to move again to the old building. So it went on for more than half a year, and technicians couldn't grasp it where it came from. And also the energy of the employees went down and down and more and down and down. And what's in the end, it was that the building was not grounded. It was not like the energy was negative, really negative in the building. And it also is kind of what's happening with embodiment. It's kind of, you close your grounded, so you close your energy flow of energy in your system. So being more embodied secures that your system is functioning again. And it really kind of looking backwards, that was one of the most profound things happening to me, but I start realizing that what was more than only thinking by your head and how really energy works. So it was, really interesting. And there's a bright embodied future, I would say. There's a team I coach in the Netherlands, in Delft. It's a universal team, university team, a technical university of Delft. And every year, with a new team, they build an exoskeleton for somebody who's paralyzed to let them walk again. And what is happening, the first time, they were just focusing on the end goal. They should win a race, period. There were lots of burnouts in the team. Of course, they were competing, but I really... And the second year, one day before the race, the whole exoskeleton broke down. And that was the first year they used Agile on the way I teach it, I coach it. And they called me after a day in the pub, and they were really kind of had a hangover because really they couldn't compete. But they said, "Paul, what you teach us is that it's not about winning the race, it's about... feeling, being a team, learning all the way during the year, friendship, being connected with each other. That's what the real value is all about, that we grew together." And that's also what Clayton Christensen, my of my personal inspirators, was always saying, how to measure your life. At the end of your life, you passed away also Cato Christian this year, at the end of your life, it doesn't matter how high you are in the hierarchy or how much money you have on your bank account. It's how you let other people grow and let the energy flow. And that's profoundly what I really find, that if we can teach young people with that, young children, what I already said, Edu Scrum and Light Schools are, in Netherlands, are teaching already children how to apply that in their life, how to think out of contribution and about energy and about philosophy and about other stuff than just pushed in the system. If you want to know more about Edu Scrum or Light Schools or this project, please contact me after the presentation. I will, of course, provide you all kinds of information. So practicing embodied agile. There's one practice, I use it actually all day long. It's called turbo centering. It's also used by top sporters unconsciously. And it's about how to ground yourself and be more relaxed. And so I also have a tendency also during this conference to speak faster, but it slows you down. And like my first example about it slows you down. So it's first, it's about your posture. So stand up or sit down in upright position. I'm 2 meters tall. So for me, it's like being upright already, like, hey, feels much better for me. Breathing, so breathe in, make yourself a bit longer, and release all unnecessary tension in your body. And then breathe out again and think of somebody who makes you smile. I always think of my son. He's always funny, always smiling. I really start smiling again. And what you also can do is think of somebody who is always behind you. Yeah? Your wife or somebody who is far away, so to say, for you, or somebody who's passed away, who will often be unconditionally behind you. And somebody who inspires you, and make this big triangle and sense it, this energy around you. You will notice it. People sense it that you are in this mode. And you can do it just in a few seconds. It's just overnight, you can do it. But it takes hard learning. So a little exercise. So I want to that everybody goes into his mobile phone or open a web browser and go to menti.com and push in the code 7708997. I will just switch my screen right now and we do this exercise ourselves. So there I am again. So please use the code if you are able to. So nobody is in yet, but hopefully we will be soon. Anyone? Go to menti.com and use the code 7708997. Hans is having a question, he's raising his hand. Are you able to enter the website of Menti? Because I see, oh, there's one person. Yeah, there it is, thank you. So the question is, going back to the product where your mind was in control, how did you feel? And so this command and control kind of project, what does it do with your body, with your state of mind, with your whole being? The way you see it, like exhausted, in control, strong, tensed. It is really an example that you think with your head, eh? Not with your whole body. It's a really an example of that you think about. You always want to explain it. Like why does it happen? Can you measure it? For myself, it took me quite some years. It's still I'm learning to get rid of this phenomena. Yeah, so tensed, exhausted. It's what I heard a lot. and perhaps also too focused. And now go into the other example. Well, there are still people are tired. Yeah. It feels safe, eh? But how safe is it? Eh? Is it dense, focused, exhausted, not seeing everything? That's an interesting one. There's another example I experienced. It was a long, long time ago. I had an internship with Dutch Air Force, and there was a sentry. There's a centrifuge there, and pilots are taught there or how to cope with their G-forces. And what you see, if your body is under pressure, you really get a tunnel vision. Hey, you feel you can't see everything again. So when you are relaxed, you're much more able to sense and see the environment around you. It's also like a natural phenomena, I would say. Tunnel vision. Yeah, exactly. Shallow. Yeah, that's really the part what you will experience when you're in this kind of mode. So now more on the positive part. Going to the second question, I will provide you on our website with all the results, of course, later on, so you can look it back in a more relaxed way. So now the other one, of course, I'm now very curious. Going back to a project where your mind, heart, and gut say you really were centered, you really were sensing. How did you feel then? Do more in your flow. Yeah, inspired, confident, present, exactly. Motivated, Ella. Insecure, yeah, also something I experienced. It's kind of, yeah, who? Can I express this to another one, that I'm feeling like that? Flowy, yeah, powerful, focused, present, inspired, clear, calm. Yeah, and also then you have this real agile feeling that you rely on the system, you can adapt to it. Yeah, still before that you rely on the algorithm, on the methodology, but being have the state of mind that you rely on the patterns behind it. You believe, it would almost say on the universe. Vibrating, warm, happy, exuberant, yeah. Creative, that's also a beautiful one. You feel more creative because you are like, you have no tension in your body anymore. You feel free to think. Happy, slower, that's also nice. It slows us down. I explain it like this. You have Kairos time and you have Chronos time. Kairos time is your quality time, and you only can experience Kairos time where you really slow down, experience things. And being a more embodied and centered also lets you experience more of Kairos time. You're more amazed, like my son being amazed on the riverside, finding this stone, this fossil. And for example, looking at COVID right now, if you are really relaxed and have the state of mind, you can cope better with it. You're more grounded, you are more at ease, but also understand more the reason why it happens. Nature shows us that we are like in a linear path treating nature, and it comes back to us. So it's how to be more aligned with that. And then you regain your energy again and proceed. And the same applies in organizations. If you're not aligned with a purpose, with your customer, with your environment, really aligned, also in energy, in the whole thing, then yeah, it will collide. And you don't understand with your mind why it doesn't happen. All your marketing tricks won't help you there. Yeah, alive, really cool, at ease. Contact with your environment. So grateful for your answers, and I'm hopefully you also more convinced, Anna, that it's adding this element to agility, to agile is doing a lot with the effect of agile with our environment. That's in my opinion the true agility, the true agile. So going back to my presentation, thank you all. Very cool. So a summary. What I'm concerned, it's agile embodiment is the missing dimension of many agile transformations in leadership right now. That you experienced right now also like that. I couldn't grasp it for many years what it is. It was for me also a journey, but this is really kind of the missing link. If we can close that loop with this really, that is sensing, being more empathetic with each other and showing more compassion and more sensing, more connecting. We're so connected with electronic devices, but we're not really connected with each other. And embodiment helps us with really standing still, finding your calmness, and connect with your environment much better. And agile embodiment is not something new. It's just an addition to the instrumental traditional agile. It's just you can add to it. You can add embodiment to, for example, a retrospective in a Scrum ceremony, or being more embodied, better listening with your stakeholders during a demo. Or you can, for example, during a transformation, do all kinds of interventions. There are many practices possible there. You can join our webinar together with Anouk Brak after the conference, and we will teach you and show you some of those practices more in detail. And agile embodiment is the same as agile. It's and Scrum. It's much easier to learn. It's extremely simple, I would say, but it's so hard to unlearn your old behavior, stay in your mind. And to master, the same applies for martial arts. It's the habit in Western society. We want to go to our goal as soon as possible. But to teach this, it takes years and years and all your life. That's one of the things I brought with me after my trip in Japan last year. This mastery, it's so profoundly important, and not rush it, but really practice it. I'm not the master in embodiment. I'm still learning every day, but I'm helping and guiding to take a step back to in the stage of organizations, of people, to understand, to respect where they are and guide them to a better place, I would say. And Anouk, her presentation tomorrow will be on that part, how you can guide and replace yourself in your environment and guide them to the next step. So it's hard to unlearn your behavior and master. So it's really important that we start with the children, with the young people, to teach them already. Those are my three lessons for today. So this is the end of my presentation for now. So thank you all for joining me. And any questions perhaps?
Thank you, Paul. We do have questions and we do have comments. There was one last comment talking about how it's Gellert, unlearn. I love it. So there's something that really resonated with our audience in your last message. And there's also a very concrete question from Ian. Does the traditional management layer, in your experience, Paul, consider agile change to be something they can delegate?
The question was that the traditional management?
That is, in your experience, does the traditional management layer consider agile change to be something they can delegate?
The first intention is to do so, yes. To say, well, it's a project, I can delegate it. But it's profoundly something, as leadership, you should adapt, because otherwise, you're not being believed. That's natural transformation is something really profoundly should be embodied again into the system, to the DNA of an organization. If you don't do so, then it's just a methodology, it's just a trick. And that's also my personal frustration, is that agile is often being perceived as a methodology, as a tool, but not as a profound change. And it starts also with leadership embracing these principles and this other dimension, I would say.
And maybe a question then in because I think that we've all been faced when we are in a development business, we've all been faced with that a top management layer wants to delegate something like that,
yep.
While actually the real change goes from the top down. So what are your approaches when that happens, when they want to delegate the agile change? How do you manage? How do you respond in such circumstances?
I would say don't rush things. So first, and I've always have respect. So take a step back and really replace yourself in their perspective, in the world they're in. Often they feel really alone, especially with a hiring organization, what's higher in this case, but the hiring organization they are, just the more alone they feel. And also show that compassion and try to connect with that on a personal level. And what my experience is that most of the times you connect really personal with them and go from there and see, okay, if you can't do this, can you do this experiment? And bring them to the working floor. There's in Lean, they call it this Gemba walks. With the transformation Amsterdam with this bank, the board members were also really guided by our team to the whole organization, through every level, and they could sense it and see it with them, but not only see it, but sense it, how people perceive their environment. And what you shouldn't do is make a pretending environment of it. So, the board is visiting us, so make everything clean and sober up and dress properly. No, they should really be there as it is. And so bring them along. So, and start with respect, and you have it takes time, and they have a lot of stakeholders to manage, and take it step by step and see if you can help with their intelligence to make little steps.
I can notice how compassionately challenging you are being in those moments to take them to a different place than they are.
And we did, and we also for example, this Dutch bank, we invited them to Germany, to the other customer, and leadership that kind of more embodied leadership was visiting. They could sense the vibe with the other leadership, and they were really kind of inspired. And we want to visit you in Amsterdam. So two groups of managers came to Amsterdam, and they said, well, we couldn't grasp it. But when we stepped into the building, we sensed the different energy. And we want this also. And actually made a joke, what you're doing in Germany. But I would wish them to have the same energy in the organization as in Amsterdam. So that drives me.
Yep. Beautiful. There's another question that says, do you actually do body and centering exercises with the teams you work with? And if yes, could you give a few examples of tools that you're using in that case?
Yeah, what we do, the coaches I'm coaching, for example, in Amsterdam, we go to Aikido lessons. So we really practice it also Aikido. So it's really also to do it. And every coaching group is doing that. We also did that in Germany. So we also invited an Aikido master to teach those principles to the coaches, and they can also apply those principles of sensing and being more aware of your breathing, how your posture and how your state of mind is towards their environment. So it's more about also coach to coach, so teach others to teach others, so that you can scale it through the organization. And it should be very simple, because it's very hard to practice it and to master it again. Because if you overload your environment many practices, then they don't. Yet it will be a trick, and you really want to be it sincere, authentic. So again, we practice it, for example, in retrospectives. So being more embodied, doing a breathing exercise before the retrospective, so being more in the moment. And also leadership is practicing that, showing the example. So, and also leadership is kind of inspiring leadership with that. It's a slow process, but it starts with, people like us entering an organization and showing the right example and being a role model. And everybody is different. So you have to really apply and see what resonates with people and respect them, of course.
I remember reading in your bio that you do bring humanity and authenticity into the organizations. So I guess that through these exercises, that's a way to bring it as well. We I can't see any more questions, so I'm encouraging the participants to still use a couple of more minutes that we've got and ask these questions. And in the meantime, I'm just going to refer to a very powerful slide in your presentations, where you actually put the practices, the principles, the values, and the mindset of Agile, and then you actually put the Agile embodiment with the heart and the guts, the hara bit. And it was such a powerful thing to witness, to watch from one to another. And I'm just interested in the reactions when you bring that to the organizations. And I can see you smiling right now, which means that it really, this approach inspires you. So how do you manage to transfer that inspiration to your corporate audience?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting. What I experience is when you show this picture, they really like amazed. We're sitting on top of it, or we don't sense it. So how come? It's so actually so profoundly simple, but we just switch it off. And that's actually what is happening to us last centuries. We switch it off, and all cultures in the world who are still able to. We have to say it more dramatically. We kind of murder them, right? It's or at least push them back, and it doesn't exist for us anymore. And that makes us sometimes also sad, but it's still there. So there are 500,000 participants in this conference, and who wants to switch on their senses again? And that makes me smile a lot. It is in these times that where we kind of have the habit to switch everything off because we don't want to feel anymore because it's COVID time. No, it's a profound moment in time to switch on our senses and to look back at the first days of COVID was there, and there were no airplanes in the air, and the air was clean, and you could well smell the fresh air. That's the pureness of life. That is a gift, but we don't switch on our senses anymore. And you can teach that with embodiment. And again, a lot of people are resensing, I would say, relearning. Again, and it's still there. Yeah? It's not like we switched. We can always switch it on again. So it's not too late to do that. But the older you are, the more you were in the system, the longer it takes to switch it on. And the thinking, yes, but it doesn't work like that. Well, it's a yes but mentality. I always say it. But it's an end. In Germany, I always make this joke like aber und. Eh? It's a yes but. And it's, you can make lots of jokes out of it and do it with fun. That's also a tip I would say.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. So, yes, and yeah. And you're showing right now what you said at the very beginning, how Agile is not just a tool, but it's a way of sensing.
Yes, it is. And that's, and also the profound, well, system of everything. And what we do as human beings, humankind, we kind of, yeah, try to explain it and make create a shell around it, a marketing shell, I would say. And so, well, that's agile. No, that's not agile. If you really listen and feel to the people who are invent or rediscovered agile, I would say, that's not it. It's really the profound system of everything. And we should add more, we can sense that there are more, I would say, waves in the air we can't sense even, and also respect them. But again, what we can sense as human beings, cherish it and use it for connecting more to people. Because I'm really profound, I'm a technical, I'm really almost a nerd, so I really like technology. But it can't replace empathy or real sensing. And that's what you see, the whole discussion with Facebook and on, it's so instrumental. There are no emotions attached to it. And that's where people really get abandoned and sad and depressed about. And again, if you reteach yourself to, okay, switch off those telephones sometime and get more into contact using embodiment techniques, that makes life so much beautiful, I would say.
Beautifully said. At the very end, Paul, thank you very much. This was such an inspiring session with your views and the way you presented it and the way you embody it and you bring it to the world. So thank you very much for that.
It was grateful for being here. So thank you. A great conference.
So wait for another second because we've got a final question for you. But just before that, we want to remind our participants that they have a couple of links in the chat box where they can find you and where they can find your work. So please do make sure to check that out. And also know that you can watch this session for 48 hours for free. After that, you can purchase it. You can go to our conference website and purchase other sessions as well, including Paul's, so that you can have them in your own library, digest them whenever you like, because there's a lot of valuable content and it's really hard to digest everything in this week and a half. Make sure you check the discounted prices also while the conference is on. It will all be a thank you to us, and it will also enable everyone else to watch it for free. Also, check our Facebook group to continue the discussion and coffee breaks as well. Tandy is kindly putting all of the chats in the all of the links in the chat box. And to end, I'm going to go back to you, Paul, and ask you about the top tip to our participants on how to stay embodied. What would be your suggestion?
I would just refer to a few sentences ago. Try to leave the yes but thing out of your mind and start to get this. Anu Bruck, my coach, always says we're mostly a head on a stick. Try to get loose of that and be more embodied and watch your breathing. It's and to try to ingrain this in your daily pattern. It's just a few seconds work of your life, and it does magic with your mindset.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Paul. We've got a couple of more minutes. So if there are any comments or any questions still from our participants, we can answer them. Are we just getting the thank you messages right now? And we had a comment before, somebody being very interested in a creative and development processes and how to use embodiment in all types of processes and relationships. Yep. From a child point of view.
Well, again, together with Anouk, we will be organizing a webinar after the conference. Where will be a free webinar where we all interested will help you further on the path of embodiment and agility. So,
I think we've got that link, Tandy, in the in our comments. Maybe you can say just a couple of words about that webinar.
Yeah, what we are doing is we make it very practicable, so everybody can bring in a case, and we will help with applying embodied practice to that. So attach it. So what you can experiment with. So people can bring on their cases, and we will suggest an embodiment practices to that. And of course, more a generic part, but especially also focusing on the real practice.
Perfect. You can
apply directly into your job or daily life.
Perfect, perfect. And here's Tandy repeating the link to the webinar. So there's a link to Paul's website where you can find more about this free webinar. And as Paul is saying, you can bring a concrete case and then work on that concrete case. So there's going to be a lot of value there. Yep. Thank you once again. This was really inspiring, and wishing you all the best in your future life and work. And thanks to all of our participants. And the next session, please stay with us, is Fiona Buckland, Digging Deep, Leading Strong, Embodied Practices to Lead Yourself and Others in Times of Crisis, Uncertainty, and Rapid Change. Thanks again, Paul, and have a nice
thank
day.
You. Thank you for facilitating. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye all.
Thank you. Goodbye.